Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. A little rough getting going here. I lost my internet connection, so I'm about a minute and a half late. I'll have to trim out the first minute and a half because we do a live show here. This is not pre-recorded, not gone through a lot of editing. It's just Tim and myself here talking the game of baseball, and we are heavy into draft preparation for the game of fantasy baseball. The news over the winter has been almost non-existent. But the Brewers made it at least exciting this week because we had some news, lots of news. So I'm going to talk with the great Tim McLeod about that. And we're going to be previewing second base. So good show plan for everybody today. Very, very excited about it. Also, just to let you know that my top 100 minor league prospects has started to come out. We've done the first 50, 51 through 100. They are out. 26 through 50 comes out on Tuesday morning, and then the final comes out on Friday morning. So hopefully you guys are enjoying it. Got a lot of really positive feedback. Very, very interesting list this year. Doesn't have the names that you've seen in the past, the Chris Bryants of the world. But, you know, Ronald Acuna is pretty good, and Walker Buehler is pretty good, and Fernando Tatis is pretty good. So there's a lot of very interesting guys out there. What I found the most fascinating is the top 10 players has a lot of Latin players in it. I don't know what that means. Just it is what it is. I haven't tried to figure out all of that and what it means that perhaps we've just had a really good run of good development out in Latin America, maybe a cycle through people in the domestic standpoint. I don't know if it's significant. I don't know, but it's a fact. The top level of the minor leagues is dominated by by Latin players. If you want to get a hold of us, the best way to do that for me is at Twitter at Rich Wilson P361 at Rich Wilson P361, or go out and find the great Tim McLeod out on Facebook. It would be Tim McLeod, MCLEOD, Tim MCLEOD. You can also get him on Twitter at Timothy LMC. We also have a new sponsor, Steiner Sports. This is where you get all your great memorabilia, baseball bats, baseballs, some baseball trading cards. They're one of our new sponsors. Go out and hit my affiliate link out on Prospect 361. You'll see visit our sponsors right on the right-hand side. We'd appreciate that. Support the show. Also, if you want to just go out to the site steinersports.com, simply use the code Prospect361 and get 15% off on all of your purchases. That's Prospect361 is the code, and you get 15% off. We'd really appreciate it. Help support the show, help support Tim and myself. So again, Steiner Sports. We've got some other sponsors about ready to join us, and that will be coming in the next couple of weeks. But Steiner is the first group to kind of get started with the Fantasy Live on Sunday evenings. Without further ado, let me bring on the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. How are you keeping?
I keep it really, really well, Timmy. It's been a good week. I got a long week coming up. I'm going to South America, leave on Monday evening, be down there for the balance of the week. So it's going to be a long, long week.
Well, you know, being that this is one of your final road trips, Rich, Like, do you get, like, rocking chairs and presents, just like the, you know, the baseball players do when they make their final tour? Like, do they, do these people overload you with gratuities and honor your past service and all that stuff? Or?
Well, you know, unfortunately, Tim, I haven't, it's well known in my organization what I'm doing, but we haven't told the troops yet. So we'll probably tell people in the next 3 or 4 months. And then I'll have to do another visit to all my remote locations, and I don't know what I'll get, maybe a rocking chair. I have no idea, but, it'll be a lot of fun, but, that is coming. I still haven't given my end date yet. So that's still up in the air, but it will be 2018. Sometime in 2018 will be it. And, I want to move on to the next chapter of my life.
Ah, good for you. Yeah, no, I've been keeping real busy. I'm starting to try and get my plans ready for tote, booking a hotel in New York and taking care of all that. And I tormented the guys on Facebook today. I've been finishing second in that Guess the Player game, so I gave them a good one and stumped them totally, Rich. I had some fun with it.
Well, Timmy, so first of all, I asked you to give me the Guess the Player. I'll probably stump me as well, but tell me, I didn't know you were going to New York. I thought you were doing the online. Have you changed to do a different game?
Yeah, I'm doing the mixed auction in New York City. And it looks like I've got a room. I just got to figure out what I'm going to do with my car. You know, it's cheaper, okay?
Yeah.
Almost to get a room than is to park my car. Like I can get a room at the Marriott, okay, which is where I think a lot of the guys are staying in Manhattan. For I think it's $225 a night, okay, for a king.
Yep.
That's not bad. Parking, $75.
Right, and parking's going to be $70. Parking will be $70 a night.
Yeah, like, really, like, do they detail my vehicle? Do they change the oil? Like, what's up with this, Rich?
It's tough, Timmy. You know, I hate to tell you, it's $220 for the hotel room, and the taxes are going to be another $80. Just to let you know. So
I live in a socialist country. I know what taxes are. I'm okay with the tax.
I don't know how. I mean, I'm out of New Jersey. New York, same thing. I mean, it's just as expensive to live in. It's insane. I mean, it's absolutely insane to go visit anybody in New York to stay, you know, a period of time. I don't know how both my kids live in New York. My son, it was his birthday. So he said, hey, I'm going to take my girlfriend to a sushi place. I mean, this isn't like, I didn't think it was going to be a fancy place, but a sushi place. I got the bill,
right.
$344 for two people, Timmy. Three bills for two people for sushi. Come on now.
I spend that in a month, and I'm not losing weight.
I know, exactly. I told Lori, I'm like, I don't know if we can $350 in a restaurant in Charlotte. I don't think that's possible. This is sushi, Timmy. I don't even understand it. Yeah, you know, I just paid it. I don't know.
That's a lot of drive-through, isn't it, Rich?
That's a lot of drive-through, Timmy. I totally agree with you. But well, have fun. Okay, let me get the music going here. So let me get down here as you give me the Guess the Player. This is really hard,
this
huh?
This is totally unfair, Rich. You're not going to get this.
Well, please, Timmy. Once again,
okay,
underestimating me, but I'm sure it's true. Okay, go ahead, Timmy. I'm ready. As soon as you tell me, I'll get the thank music going.
Okay, and we're off. This player finished up his minor league season this year by getting in 169 at-bats. In those 169 at-bats, he hit 13 homers with 39 RBIs, stole 39 out of 44 bases, amassed an 1130 OPS, and scored 50 runs in those 40 games. He's a member of the Tampa Bay Rays organization. Who is this player?
Wow. So only 169 at-bats?
Yep, 39 stolen bases and 50 runs scored. 13 home runs.
All right, Tim.
Trick question.
No. So, yeah, because all of that done in the minor leagues.
all of that was done in his last 169 at-bats, and he's a minor leaguer. How's that?
He's a minor leaguer in 169 at-bats. That is interesting, Timmy. Boy, that you might have stumped me here. So give me how many stolen bases again?
39 in 44 attempts. He didn't make your top 10 list.
He didn't make my top 10 list. Interesting. Okay, does this guy get a couple quizzes, because I'm narrowing it down to who I think it might be. Or any chance this guy has major league experience?
No, he has no major league per se experience. Here's a hint for you.
Don't give me any more hints. So, is it Malik Smith? I know he has some major league experience. There's a fast guy. My other guess would be Lucius Fox.
Nope.
All right. The only other guy that I know of who has a lot of speed is somebody, Gota? I think it's Cade Gota. I heard, he was a guy that's a fourth outfielder, fifth outfielder. He had a bunch of stolen bases. How about him?
Nope. I'll give you another hint, though, if you want. I'm being all generous right here. I'm trying to be nice. He's following in Ronald Acuna's footsteps.
Ronald Acuna's footsteps. That's a hint.
Ronald Acuna start his run last year? How's that?
Okay, well, he was in Rome, so he started his – I don't know, Timmy. Let's move on. Who is it?
He started his run in Australia. The player is Jake Fraley, or Fraley. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. He's a Tampa Bay prospect, and that's what he put up in Australia.
How?
The season just ended, Rich.
Oh, okay. Well, so he didn't do it in the minor leagues. He did it in Australia?
Yeah, in the ABL, their major league.
All right, great. All right, Timmy. No, that's true. Yep. So, well, I give everybody Malik Smith, this Tampa Bay with speed. Cade Gota, I believe. I wrote his name. I was actually cheating, Timmy. I was looking through my database of Tampa Bay prospects looking for – I sorted by speed, and that was what came up. So, and Lucius Fox, I don't know how many stolen bases he has. Those are three guys that came at the top of my database list of guys in Tampa with big speed. But I did not know about – and a descendant of William Frawley from the I Love Lucy show. That I was not anticipating.
Well, yeah, it's very obscure. But at the same point in time, Rich, what do you do with a guy, okay, that went over and posted an amazing season like that in Australia, okay? Much the same as Ronald Acuna did last year. He posted a better season than Acuna. What do you do with a guy like that when it comes to looking at dynasty drafts, does it make any difference that he had such an amazing season as a 22-year-old?
None. Timmy, it's Australia. Good Lord. I mean, come on. What is that, like low A? This is not the same thing as Ronald Acuna doing it in double A and triple A and high A. Come on.
Right.
Really? I mean, this is Australia.
But a year ago when Acuna left Australia, where was he ranked? Was he a top 100 prospect? Was he even known? A year ago.
Yeah, well, he was with me. I can go take a look where he was. I'm pretty sure he was – might not have been a top 100 prospect, but I believe he was – I mean, he made my list. I actually had him on a dynasty league as well, and, of course, I traded him away like an idiot. But, yeah, I mean, people knew about him.
Yeah, okay. No, I just found it very, very interesting that this guy coming out of nowhere
– Is he American or is he Australian?
No, he's American.
Interesting.
He played low A this year.
All right. Well, how did he do in low A? How did he do in low A?
Low, I believe. It wasn't A.
let me quick over there. I don't even see him. He's not even listed. I'm on Baseball America. He's not even listed in Baseball America as a Tampa Bay Ray prospect. He has no minor league time.
Oh, yeah, he does. Go to MILB.com and punch it in. It'll come up. I'll tell you what his record. He was in Charlotte last year. The Stone Crabs.
That was
in 2016. This year he got in a of 100 at bats. Okay, between rookie and high A, stole one base, hit one home run.
Oh, now what's his first name? Matt?
Jake.
Jake Frawley. Oh, there he is. That's Jack Frawley. All right, we're wasting time here. Timmy, I think you're out of your mind. I'm looking at Baseball Reference. I don't even see a Jake Frawley. I see a Tucker. I see a Terrence. I see a Scott. I see a Pat Frawley. I see a Jack Frawley. I see a Matt Frawley, 2016-17.
He's listed on MILB.com.
Oh, all right. Well, definitely he's a hot prospect. I mean, for sure. For sure. All right. It is 8:15. I'm worn out. Good night, everybody.
We should have stayed with the parking thing, right, Rich?
There you go. Yeah. So, Timmy, when is your trip to New York?
The draft is March 17th, so I'm looking at probably arriving on Thursday and heading out Sunday morning. But I'm going to be on the road for almost a month, I think, Rich. I'm going to Montreal to catch an exhibition game. A friend of mine's flying in from Austria, and he's got some tickets. And we're gonna check out the final exhibition games in Montreal. And I'm going to spend some time with family and friends in the North Bay area in southern Ontario. And Ian Conn has been bugging me for years to pay him a visit, and he's got some tickets for the Yankees opener. So I'm going to go back to New York, a second trip to New York, while I'm out on the road. So it should be fun.
Wow. Well, I'll have to check my schedule, Timmy, and see if I'll be around up in that neck of the woods. And I will, if so, I will scoot in. So are you staying with Ian the second trip or another hotel?
The second trip.
Okay.
The second trip I'm staying at Ian's place. Yeah. He's putting me up for a couple of days. So
cool.
I'm only good for one Marriott a year, Rich. Or sorry, every second year.
I know that, Timmy. I know that. Okay. So let's, before we get started and we'll reset our brains here, let me take a quick break, Timmy, just to get everybody, get my notes up after the William Frawley disaster, Timmy. I think you're making him up. He doesn't exist.
Well, I am a prospect guru.
All right. I just typed in Jake Frawley and Google, Timmy, and it said, huh? So, just...
So what you're saying is we're not going to be fighting over this guy, okay?
It looks like Jake Frawley is some kind of competitor in killthecan.org. Whatever killthecan.org is, Timmy, I see nothing that says baseball here.
Okay. Moving on, Rich. How's the weather in Charlotte?
For Charlotte, that'd be... That's so funny. All right, Timmy. So it was a slow week in baseball news until the Brewers acquired Christian Yelich with back to back, and then signing Lorenzo Cain. So just to get it out there, they traded Christian Yelich for Christian Yelich. They gave away Lewis Brinson. Second time Lewis Brinson's now been traded. First came up through the Rangers organization, got traded to the Brewers, and now off to the Marlins, which is usually not a good sign when a guy gets traded multiple times. Just saying, Timmy. Eisen Diaz, second baseman, Eisen Diaz, and outfielder Monty Harrison, along with Jordan Yamamoto. I know all these guys fairly well. I haven't seen Yamamoto, but I know Brinson well, Eisen Diaz well, and Monty Harris well. So, first of all, your thoughts, just general thoughts on the deal.
I like it. I think it's a good deal. Christian Yelich supports it wholeheartedly, no doubt about it. the Brewers are in a situation where they see a window of opportunity, and it looks like they're going to seize that. And, you know, hey, they gave up some serious talent, but they also got a guy back who's a proven talent, and they've got him locked up for a fair number of years. So I like it. Lorenzo Cain, solid leadoff bat, top of the order guy, a decent contract. I like it. Now, if the Brewers can add a starting pitcher, I think the Cubs and Cards might have some reason to be concerned.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of when I saw the deal after, like, Lewis Brinson, you know, it's just like, this is not good. But really, the first thing I thought of is, like, how ticked must Pittsburgh Pirates fans be? Because this is the kind of deal they should have been doing back when they were in their window.
Yeah. Did you see my tweet that I sent out, Rich?
I did not, Mr. McLeod.
I just said, did Derek Jeter take the day off?
Yeah,
right. Sorry,
yeah.
That was rude.
It was probably their best. Well, I mean, the other three trades were terrible. So this was the best by far. And, you know, so let's talk first about Christian Yelich. He's 26 years old. He's had a nice career so far to me. Last season, .282 batting average, 18 home runs, 16 stolen bases. He posted a 19.7 strikeout rate, an 11.5% walk rate. I mean, let's face it, 18 home runs are below average, and 16 stolen bases are nice. I mean, how good is Christian Yelich?
Christian Yelich is a good but not great baseball player. I think you're looking at a guy that's in the right situation. He's a 20-20 player, and there's nothing wrong with that. His on-base skills are solid. I think he's just a good, solid baseball player.
Well, if he's 20-20, Tim, he's more than a good solid player. That's a really good player. The question, can he get over 20 home runs? When he goes to Brewers, is a lot better for left-handed power as opposed to what it was down in the Marlins Stadium. So it would feel like that 18 home runs could quickly turn into 25 home runs. So 16 stolen bases might turn into 12 stolen bases as he fills out as well. Puts him in a really nice player with the on-base skills that he has.
Well, yeah, I don't see, you know, I've listened to some people, and, you know, they're talking 30 home runs, okay? I'm sorry, I just don't see it. Yelich is he's going to spray the ball all over the park, but I don't see a huge dramatic increase in the home runs unless he really changes his game. And I don't think that really benefits him or the Brewers. So I'm not looking at a huge spike in power, but I think there will be more stolen bases because Milwaukee's going to let him run. They play that game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know they play that game, and I agree with you. And I and the Brewers need guys that can hit, and they need guys that can get on base. I mean, Arcia is not a guy that gets on base a lot. Broxton is probably not going to get much playing time, doesn't get on base a lot. One of the guys that did get on base a lot was Ryan Braun, and no telling if he gets full-time at-bats. My question to you, is he now the Brewers' best player?
Best all-around player? I would say yes.
Yeah. That's pretty weird. A playoff team just acquired the guy who's now the best player on the team. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of okay players on Milwaukee that all produce solid numbers. Like, yeah, you know, you look at Thames, you look at Arcia, you look at Hernan Perez. There's no stars in that group. You know, Jonathan Villar, you know, had an off year. But there's not a lot of stars per se, but they play very well as a team, and they did what had to be done. And as an individual player, yeah, I think Yelich is probably their best player right now.
Give me a stat line for 2018, Timmy. Give me home runs, stolen bases, and batting average.
24 home runs, 18 Ooh. Stolen bases, .290 batting average.
So as an ADP of 70.88 and the 20th outfielder off the board, that's better production than the 20th outfielder off the board.
I don't think he's going to move up much because, you know, I look at the ADPs, FAM's going ahead of him, and it makes sense. The player that's right ahead of him as far as outfielder is concerned is Chris Davis. And Chris Davis gives you something totally different than Christian Yelich. So is Yelich going to move up past him? I don't think it really changes his ADP at all when you look at the big picture, I think his numbers will improve, but you know, where are you going to put him in that ADP ranking? Who are you going to move him ahead of Chris Davis? There's a lot of talented outfield. There really is.
But let me ask you a question though. Then, so you said 24 home runs and how many stolen bases?
18.
Well, what's Mookie Betts going to do?
Mookie, he's got potential to do 30-25. I think he'll probably be 25-25.
You think he'll be better? You think he'll beat 25, a 25-25 player?
Do I think that Yelich will beat Betts?
No. Do you think – I'm talking about Mookie Betts. You really think Mookie Betts will be a 25-25 player?
Yeah, I think the potential is there for it, yeah.
Well, I mean, so I'm going to think of bring up Mookie's last year. 264, 24 home runs, 26 stolen bases. So the power, you're suggesting the power is the same and 10 more stolen bases, and Mookie Betts is going as the second or third outfielder off the board. And you can argue that Christian Yelich has every bit as good of a hit tool as Mookie Betts does.
Yeah, you could. But how far up are you going to move him in the hierarchy? If you take a look at the ADPs, are you going to take him before Pham?
I don't like Pham, yes.
Okay. You're going to force me here to drag up the ADPs here.
Yeah, I'm bringing them up as well, Timmy. Here we go. ADP and NFBC. We're going over to all positions. We're hitting an outfielder. Okay. Mike Trout, let me just – I'll talk and you tell me stop. Mike Trout,
okay.
Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts,
right.
Charlie Blackman,
right.
And Carlos Stanton. No way he'd take Christian Yelich before those guys.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
Not even...
Aaron Judge, J.D. Martinez, a little bit of concern there, Timmy. When's this guy going to sign?
If he
Cody,
doesn't sign, that changes things. But...
Cody Bellinger, George Springer,
yep.
Andrew
mm-hmm.
Benintendi. Who do you want, Andrew Benintendi or?
No, I want Benintendi.
All right. Justin Upton.
There's keep going.
Really? I'll take Yelich over Justin Upton. Marcell Osuna.
Definitely not. I'm taking Osuna.
Starling Marte.
Yeah, I'd probably take him ahead of Starling Marte. My gut feeling on Marte is not a good one. How's that?
Reese Hoskins. Yeah, the 80-game suspension is – you don't know what full effect that's going to have. Yep. And the power did not come back when he came back, by the way. Speed's there.
Mm.
Reese Hoskins, Timmy.
Yep.
Christian Yelich or Reese Hoskins?
No, Hoskins.
Really?
Not close.
Drinking the – Byron Buxton?
Rich. Got to be Buxton.
Billy Hamilton. Come on. Billy Hamilton. That's a specialty pick. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
On base percentage league, no way.
Yeah, I'll take Yelich before Billy Hamilton. I'll take Yelich before Tommy Pham and probably A.J. Pollock. But I doubt it if I will take Yelich before Chris Davis. So I would take Davis and Yelich and move them up ahead of Hamilton, Pham, and Pollock. How's that?
Hamilton, Pham, and Pollock. And I'm going to put him ahead. Yeah, I'm going to move Starling. I'm not telling you how to do your ratings. And Lord knows I would never do that. I would move Starling Marte down, and I would move Reese Hoskins down. I'm sorry, Timmy. 200 at-bats at the major league level, just not enough for me. Now moving to the outfield off of first base, boy, it feels like a correction is coming, my friend.
Steak and liquor. Better end of year. Dollar value, Hoskins versus Yelich.
You okay with Baseball HQ?
Perfectly fine. Works for me, Rich. We're good.
Okay, so better dollar value, because that's good, because Reese is not going to get you any home runs, and I think the way the you're a sucker bet, Timmy, because the way the Baseball HQ dollar value seem to work, it's really home runs plus stolen base, you know, they're almost equal – you know, a dollar. So, I mean, you know, a point, how they figure stuff out. So if he does 24 16 or 18, whatever you say. So that's 50 total. So that means Reese Hoskins has got to do 50 plus home runs. Oh, Timmy, I'm tasting the liquor and the steak. I can see the two working themselves very well together.
Done like dinner.
Let's see, Reese Hoskins with a Reese Hoskins with a .241 batting average of balls in play. Interesting. Well, there's upside there. 21% strikeout rate and a 17% walk rate. Wow. All right. Well, we'll see.
And RBI. You talking yourself out of it now, Rich?
No. I would never do that, Timmy. I'm not a huge Christian Yelich fan, but I agree with you. I think he's going to run more in Milwaukee. I think it's a better park. I think he's going to be happy, if that accounts for anything. I know Ian Kahn.
It does.
You know, the Ian Kahn, you know, is always about happiness and things like that. I think that's going to play a little bit.
Right.
I mean, I'd probably rather live in Miami Beach than, no offense to our fans that live up in Milwaukee, but I think we'd rather live off Miami Beach than he would in Wisconsin. But I think
Milwaukee. It's the closest park to me, and I like Miller. I like the fans. I like the community, too. Milwaukee's a nice little community. You just don't want to be there from, November through until about the end of March. So other than that, it's fine.
Yeah, okay. You're looking at it through a 58-year-old man's eyes. Okay, put yourself through the eyes of a 26-year-old Major League Baseball player with a lot of excess money and a lot of money that you can spend on stuff. Where would you rather go, to the bars of Miami Beach or to the bars in Milwaukee? Come on, Tim.
Milwaukee is the home of beer, isn't it?
Okay. All right. So you indicated.
And I'd rather be on the beach checking out the beads, okay?
Maybe Christian Yelich, maybe he's not into that. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see here.
It would have been a tough call if I had a choice between free beer or sitting on the beach. It would have been a tough one, Rich. It really would have.
Yeah, beer and brats versus, I don't know, frou-frou type of food and wine chillers or something like that. Who knows what they do down in – I don't even drink, Timmy, so what the heck do I know? So, anyway, let's go back. You also said the Brewers signed Lorenzo Cain. I really liked the signing up. I didn't like 5 years, but, I mean, the money aside, I think it's what the Cubs missed last year. They needed a really good leadoff guy with some speed at the top of the lineup. And, I hate to see what Lorenzo Cain looks like when the 5 years are up. But I think the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to be pretty darn good. I thought it was a really nice signing.
Yeah, I agree. It addresses a need, fills a hole. Unfortunately, there's a lot of outfielders in that system. And, Brett Phillips and a few others are not going to see the light of day probably. But all of a sudden, you're looking at a lineup where you got, Yelich and Kane at the top, Travis Shaw, Ryan Braun, Eric Thames, Arcia, and Stephen Vogt at catcher with VR or whoever happens to be at second base at the bottom end. It's a nice looking lineup. It really is. Very
Arcia as well in there, Timmy. But you didn't mention Domingo Santana. So are you saying he's going to get moved? Because they got to do something. Because Kane's going to play, Yelich is going to play. So that leaves Ryan Braun. I heard a rumor today he was going to potentially play second base. I can't imagine that happening. But so Ryan Braun, you got Domingo Santana, and then you got a bunch of young kids that are still out there, including Brett Phillips, who is probably have to be looking at himself going, well, wait a minute, what about me?
Well, there's a couple routes they can take. They're either going to move one of Ryan Braun or Santana. Or, and here's the one that nobody's talking about, Eric Thames. Okay. Ryan Braun can play first base. If they move Thames, then Braun's at first base, and they can keep Domingo Santana. But nobody's talking about Thames, but he's on a very, very friendly contract.
It's like $6 million a year or something, right? I remember it's $6 million a year.
Oh, I think it's less than that. I think the total deal is less than $20 million. I think it's about $16-17 million, I think.
Yeah.
On a 4-year deal.
Yeah, and if he could put up 30 home runs, and you don't really, I mean, he could be a Chris Cage, RIS Davis kind of player. And yeah, there's some value there for somebody who's call certain for a few years. That's a really good call, Mr. McLeod.
Well, they could take and they could move Eric Thames and slide Braun into first base, hold Domingo Santana. And like I said, a player like Thames will at least get you something back, okay? Now, Santana will get you something back, but Santana's under control for the next 4 years. That's not something that usually a small market team wants to give up. Ryan Braun is too expensive. The only team that would take him is Boston, probably. And, you know, Ryan Braun's a tough sell. So maybe Eric Thames is the answer, just looking at it from a different sort of perspective. And then their problems are solved. More or less.
Yeah, so it's harder. I mean, there's not as many teams need a first baseman. And, you know, there's three outfield positions or two on the corner. I think you're right about Ryan Braun. That's a tough one. It's a guy that they're going to have to eat most of that contract, and they're probably willing to do that. Domingo Santana, the reason he's most likely to move to me is they need pitching. I mean, it's come out that Jimmy Nelson's probably not going to be ready till June. That probably means July. Mm-hmm. So you got to be concerned there that – you know, is he going to be able to repeat what he did after the injury and blah, blah, blah. And then if they don't sign a Jake Arrieta or they don't sign a Yu Darvish, which, you know, they generally don't do that, or maybe a Lance Lynn or somebody, they're going to need a starting pitcher.
Well, yeah. Is it fair to say that the Brewers rotation is currently in a half Nelson?
Yeah, that's true. They got Chase Anderson. By the way, Timmy, I wanted to bring this up. We haven't talked about this in a long time. Remember my agita about Chase Anderson versus Colin McHugh? And you took Colin McHugh. I took Chase Anderson. And I was like, oh, I was so stupid. I thought I liked Chase Anderson more. I thought he's going to be the better pitcher in her career, I think. Chase Anderson over Colin McHugh, right?
I don't know. Did you take a look at McHugh's run down the stretch last year, his second half? It was pretty inspiring. I'm not giving up on Chase
Anderson. I mean, the velocity increase, and before he got hurt, he was pretty darn good. So I don't feel I own neither of those now, Timmy, in my dynasty league where I gave up on both of them, but which is typical.
Okay.
But I don't feel as bad about dropping Colin McHugh and keeping Chase Anderson. At least I'm sleeping better at night as I'm thinking through that as I'm going to sleep.
Sometimes there are benefits to cutting to the chase, Rich.
Very, very good. So, Timmy, let's move on to the Miami side. Look, it was the best trade they've done so far. I think everybody would agree with that. But
yeah.
Christian Yelich deserved a haul like that. Now Miami went after, my understanding, I mean, this is what I know no inside knowledge on this. They asked for Ronald Acuna. Atlanta politely said no. They asked for Vlad Jr., the Toronto Blue Jays, you know, said very politely, no, thank you. So they went down everybody's top 100 list, and they said, how about this guy, how about this guy? And every one of them said no. I mean, they went to the Yankees and said, you know, how about Gleyber Torres? Thank you very much. No, thank you. And it was down the list. And then they changed strategy, and they said, okay, we're going to move more for a volume play. I mean, Brinson, how much I love Brinson. He is not Ronald Acuna. He's not Fernando Tatis.
Nope.
He's not Gleyber. He's not at that level. But they got some pretty good guys that, you know, you put those three top positional players. I don't think either one of them will be Christian Yelich, but if you add them all up, I mean, Miami's got a terrible major league system and a terrible minor league system. I think it actually made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it filled potentially an awful lot of holes and rebuilt their minor system, their minor league system, in a hurry. Diaz has gotten solid potential. Harris.
Terrible season last year, though, Timmy. Ison Diaz had a terrible season last year. And Monte Harrison, I saw him as soon as he got drafted, and somebody said, look, you got a guy. I was at like 112 degrees heat in Phoenix.
Yeah, I remember.
In the evening, I was watching this guy, and I literally, I was starting to see double, Timmy. It was so hot. And this guy, just bat speed and just physical.
Yep.
Man, just tools galore. Finally shortened up a swing a little bit, finally started making contact this year. So there's something there as well.
Yeah, and, you know, he's still a work in progress, but there's something to work with there.
Brinson, though, is the prize because he's a particular for fantasy owners because he should get a big run in Miami this year. I mean, there's nobody else there that can take time from him unless he does, for April. I would think they're going to give him a very, very long leash. Would you push him up in your rankings for outfielder, Tim?
Well, I'm taking the opposite approach, Rich. I'm saying, why does Miami want to start the clock early and burn up Lewis Brinson? What advantages are there to heading in that direction? They're not going to sell more than 48 season tickets, regardless of whether Brinson's in the minors or the majors. So I think they sit him for 2 months. Originally I was thinking the first months, but I think they're gonna sit him and not use up that clock. So I'm only looking at a little bit more than maybe 50-60% of a season, Rich.
That's fair. He will be 24 years old, Tim, and in May. So let's see that. Let's say they because he's got a handful of at bats in the major leagues. I think he got 55 at bats.
Yep.
So not
right.
many at bats. So they could probably bring him up May 1st, have 7 years in team control, which means 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. See, they're going to have him to his 30th year that way. That's a lot of value. So I do think he comes up just because there's really no reason to wait and hold him until he's 31. So he's not a young player anymore.
Yeah, even at 31, he still might not be part of their next winning season, Rich.
You could be very, very correct on that, Timmy. So, but anyway, Jordan Yamamoto, I don't know a whole lot about him. I did get a friend of mine give me a text back to just said he's command and control guys. I think 4 or 5 starters. So that's all I have on him. I've never seen him pitch. But Monty Harris, huge upside. Whether he reaches or not, don't know. And Ison Diaz, again, a nice little four-tool player, can hit. But then he had really struggled in high A last year. But, you know, maybe the Marlins can do some magic. And say what you want, Timmy. They know how to develop players. There's a lot of guys on that major league team. Well, it used to be on that major league team. They came up through their system and were quite good.
Oh, yeah. Did you see what the Players Association, the route that they've decided to take this week? Did you catch that news blurb, Rich?
Tommy, which one?
The one where they're looking at possibly filing a grievance because the teams that are taking in the revenue sharing are not spending the money on their product. And the two teams named were Miami and Pittsburgh.
Wow. Didn't know that, Timmy. Yeah, that's that figures. Timmy, when we get back, we're going to talk about your second base rankings, which are really awesome because they don't follow boilerplate what the NFBC did. And that's where people can find value. And that's where I might be able to make fun of you a little bit too. It's always a good thing.
Well, of course.
Before we go to the Keystone, Timmy, I need to ask our listeners for some advice. Living in the South, Tim, and living in Charlotte in particular, Charlotte is home to NASCAR. It is the racing capital of the world. It is the NASCAR Hall of Fame literally is less than a mile from my house. I can almost see the building from my house.
So you're saying,
of course,
you can get chewing tobacco on every corner, right?
pretty much, Timmy. So, of course, we've got to go to a NASCAR race, right?
Right.
I mean, there's the Charlotte Motor Speedway, which I think holds like 100,000 people or something crazy like that. There's only 3 races there per year, which I thought there'd be a lot more. I had known nothing about it. And so we're looking at tickets, and they're pretty expensive. I don't know what to do, Timmy. So do I get the nice – fancy tickets, what I'm asking our listeners. Do I get the $150 ticket where I get the little overhang so I'm not going to melt to death? But more importantly, apparently you're supposed to wear earmuffs, Tim, because it's so loud there.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of earmuffs to get. I'm researching and it says that you're supposed to get a scanner too so that you can listen to the pit crews talk or the I don't know, Timmy. It's a whole thing going on. So what tickets should I get? Should I get the cheap tickets? Should I get the tickets with the overhang, maybe with food there? Or should, and what do I do about, do I need these earmuffs? Should I rent them? Should I buy them? If any of our listeners who are NASCAR fans, I have no idea what to do. Reach out to me on Twitter at Ritualist and P361 and tell me what the heck to do.
You want my suggestion right now, Rich?
I can only imagine, Tim. I can only imagine.
Well, actually, this makes total sense.
You don't strike me as a NASCAR fan. You don't strike me as a NASCAR fan, Timmy, so I can only imagine.
No, I know how to turn right, okay? So I'm not a NASCAR fan. My suggestion would be watch it at home, okay, in your air-conditioned house. Enjoy it on the big screen, okay? And then take Lori out for a wonderful evening on the town, a great supper, go to a club, catch a blues band, something like that, and you'll have a lot more fun than sitting in the heat with earmuffs on. See, that's the approach I would take.
Right. So the earmuffs, just so you know, Timmy, are not like winter earmuffs. That's what I thought they were. The earmuffs are like noise cancellation, like headphones. Go out and Google like earmuffs at NASCAR, Timmy, and do the images. There's like thousands of people at these car races with these stupid gigantic earphones on. It's like, what? Why are they there?
Well, yeah, and you know what? You're going to be about half a mile away from the nearest car, okay? You're going to be looking at like Hot Wheels going around in circles for 3 hours, Rich.
And for this, I'm going to pay $150 per ticket for the thrill of doing this. So, Timmy, I hear you about taking my wife out to dinner and blues. I feel like I got to do this. This is something like it's like a rite of passage to live in the South. You got to go to a NASCAR.
Yeah, so's chewing tobacco, and I don't see you rushing to the store, right?
Okay, Timmy, let's talk about second base. Again, for those of you, it's already out there, go to prospect361.com, go to the fantasy tab, which is Tim's stage, and you go down the rankings, and you'll see catcher, first base, and now second base all listed. So, Timmy, the first what's that?
I have a problem before we get going here.
What's that?
You know that spreadsheet that you sent me?
Uh-huh.
Here's the spreadsheet for tonight. Guess what you forgot to attach to it?
Oh, there's no spreadsheet? Oh, dear.
That's okay. I don't need it.
Yeah, yes, you do. I mean, I can't believe I screwed up like that. Wow.
Well, I'll just have to do something different tonight, Rich, and actually listen, right?
No, well, that's true. So here comes the spreadsheet, Timmy. So the first five guys are pretty much in line with what the NFBC had. Let me just go here real quick. Second base, 2018. Now, that's your stuff. I think they're in show notes. Ranking second base. There it is. All right. So let me get back over to the spreadsheet. Okay, Timmy, it is on its way.
Okay. And while we're chatting here, I'll just go to my favorite site right now, prospect361.com, and click on the link and pull up my rankings.
So here we go. So Jose Altuve 1, Jose Ramirez 2, Brian Dozier 3, D. Gordon 4, Jonathan Scope 5, Robinson Cano 6, Daniel Murphy 7, Rougned Odor 8, Javier Baez 9, and Ozzie Albies at number 10. So the first five guys, Timmy, it's almost the same as the NFBC. You've got Brian Dozier 4, NFBC guys are going D. Gordon 4 or 3. Excuse me, you got Brian Dozier 3. NFBC has D. Gordon and Brian Dozier flip. That's the only thing. But other than that, looks pretty good.
Okay.
Robinson Cano, you like a little bit more. He's 2 better. You got him at 6. NFBC has him at 8. Daniel Murphy, you got at 7. NFBC has at 6. Okay. Rougned Odor is the first big difference. You have him at 8. The NFBC has him at 11. Tell me why.
3 spots. I'm expecting to see a little bit of improvement in the batting average. Again, I've been listening to my co-host lately who has been emphasizing the Babbitt situation. And even if you don't get that drastic improvement, the power and speed's there. And that's not going away. So It's my speed horse ways driving me, and the fact that I think there's going to be an improvement in the batting average, a marginal one anyways. Did you like my Lou Reed reference that I snuck in there, Rich?
Honestly, Timmy, I just glanced at him. I saw one that made me laugh. Or made me shake my head and laughing and in disgust at the same time. I can't remember what you wrote, but I was trying to get him up so quickly. I didn't tell me the Lou Reed reference.
All I said was taking a walk on the wild side would definitely help his game.
Ah, there you go. Very, very good. Let me bring up the fantasy guys here. We're ranking second base, so I can read Tim's gems along the way. Always good to read those. What was the one towards the end? The Brad Miller one. Will he fly like an eagle? That just I just shook my head, Tim. So just I got that. I got the Steve Miller reference. So
did you get the Ozzy Osbourne reference with number 10?
Let me see if I can get it now. So I'm going to read it. Hop on the crazy train. Enjoy the ride. Very, 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 very good, Timmy. Unlike another Ozzy, he won't have any problems with bat. By the way, big thanks out to, I wish I knew who it was who sent us the tweet. When we were talking about Phil X last week, he said that there was a documentary on Netflix that I had pardon me?
I saw that, Rich. Yeah, it was very nice of him.
And I watched it, Timmy. It was awesome. If you have Netflix, it's definitely worth it. It came out in 2016. It's a documentary about basically all the backup guitar players, drummers, saxophone players, and so forth, and how they're at the mercy of musicians who run the band. And it highlighted a number of players, and everybody played for Ozzy Osbourne down to guys that played for Billy Joel. And what I found fascinating is Billy Joel, who comes across as this really nice man, just screwed his players over left and right. And the guys who actually treated their players really well were Alice Cooper and Ozzy Osbourne, which I found to be fascinating because they seemed like the crazy people who would screw people over and stuff. But in fact, it was Billy Joel.
Wow, fascinating. I'm going to have to find a way to watch that at some point in time. It'll show up on YouTube or somewhere at some point in time, and I'll give it a spot.
Yeah, it was really good. The reason I wanted to bring up Ozzy Osbourne, it was fascinating. So when Randy Rose died of doing stupid things in an airplane, one of the great legends at 24, 25 years old.
Amazing.
Amazing guitar player. I mean, Eddie Van Halen, Randy Rhodes kind of reset that tone and style of playing, the late 80s, early 90s, and really helped reset Ozzy Osbourne's career. Apparently, Ozzy Osbourne was incredibly distraught, and they thought the best thing to do was to get him back out on the road, to get him playing again. So they had to find a guy to play. So they had to do a hired gun, which is the name of the documentary. They had to do a hired gun, and they found Brad Gillis. And Brad Gillis of Night Ranger, really amazing guitar player. So they basically hired him to fill in for Randy Rhodes, and he, Tim, was booed at every stadium that they played at because no one could replace Randy Rhodes, even though this guy sounded exactly – he said it was just like a miserable existence that he wanted to quit, but he just kept at it. He only played for that final tour, and then they – eventually the guy with the crazy long hair eventually joined him. But it was just really, really gripping in terms of hearing this guy, like what he had to go through. And then the bass player also just in the end finally said, I can't do this anymore. I've lost my best friend and I just can't play in the band anymore. And apparently Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne were really good to their band members, but he just said he just couldn't go on stage with all the stuff that was going on. So he left and started another band and made amazing stuff and so forth. It was that kind of drama that went on, which was just a fantastic documentary. I highly recommend it to everybody.
Well, yeah. How do you go about replacing a legend? It doesn't matter how good you are. I remember hearing stories about Tommy Bolin when he replaced Richie Blackmore in Deep Purple. It was the same thing. You know, Tommy Bolin was an amazing guitarist, but he wasn't Richie Blackmore, and that's the problem with the guitarist from Night Ranger. He wasn't Randy Rhoads.
It's the only part. It's funny. I mean, I didn't know Richie Blackmore personally, so but the stories about him. Jesus was a horrible person. That's if you believe the story, not a nice guy. So the fans might not have accepted him, but I'm sure Deep Purple took anybody else besides Richie Blackmore.
Well, he was famous for if he didn't like the way things were going in a show, he'd just walk off stage.
Yeah, it's amazing.
20 minutes into a concert, he'd walk off the stage and leave the late John Lord to do the guitar parts on his B3.
The guy that, you know, also I thanked him for making the recommendation of Hired Gun, and I'll get his name before the end of the show, just give him a call out, said that the thing he found the most interesting was it was a guy that for Hillary Duff, he was like a Disney star, Timmy. So he started off playing heavy metal. He was all tatted up, and they were trying to make Hillary Duff into this more edgier, non-Disney star. So apparently he went on tour there for a couple of years, and he would be the crazy guitar player, you know, doing all the crazy stuff. And Alice Cooper took his daughter to one of the shows because, you know, the 12-year-old kids wanted the daughters, one of the girls wanted to go see Hillary Duff. He's going, who is that guy? You know, so he called him right after the show, and he goes, hey, man, why don't you come and play real music? He goes, well, this gig's too much or too good. And then eventually Hillary Duff was no longer, and then he went and played for Alice Cooper. So that's how he got his next gig, by Alice Cooper going to the show and going, you don't look like you fit on that stage. So
one of these things is not like the other, right?
Exactly. And the drummers or the drummer of story of Billy Joel's drummer is just gripping. It's just all really, really good stuff. So highly recommend it. Netflix, it's free. If you subscribe to Netflix, Hired Gun, trust me, you'll like it. Okay, Timmy, so let's get back to this list. So Regan Editor, we talked about Javier Baez, you're about the same. Ozzy Albies, Timmy, your love for Ozzy Albies has no bounds here. You have him ranked 10. The NFBC, he's going as a 17th second baseman off the board. The 17th, Timmy. Are you out of your mind by almost doubling up on what the NFBC does? Why are you so in love with Ozzy Albies?
Because I think he's going to be a great producer of numbers this year and moving forward. And I'm not conservative in my projections. If you'll notice, the next player on the list is about in the same situation as Mr. Albies, followed by Whit Merrifield, who I don't like quite so much. I just think that Albies and Happ are both poised to make a fairly big step up in the game this year. I'm expecting big numbers from both those players. And just because they happen to be young and they haven't proven it, I'm not going to rank them at 15, 16, just for the safe conservative play, Rich. I believe in both those players.
Love it, Timmy. That's why we have you on the show. I mean, it was boring if they would all match what the NFBC had, and that's why we do what we do. You know, people are asking about my top 100. Keep going, well, the consensus is blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's not what I did. So, I mean, it's like, why, if you want a consensus, then why listen to us or why read our stuff? I mean, we're going to give you a different perspective, not just to be different, but I think with value add there. And Albies always had the speed, Timmy. So I think there's 30 stolen base potential with him.
Excuse me. Yeah, I do as well. And I think there's 15 home run potential, Rich, to go along with it. And getting, you know, back to your consensus thing, I took out my wallet, I looked at my driver's license, and nowhere does it say I'm consensus. So, you know.
Now, you like Ian Happ. You know, I mean, I like Ian Happ as well, Timmy. I mean, definitely power there, some speed there. I do worry about the hit tool. I mean, is his batting average going to be there? Is he going to be a 240 guy? I mean, so there is a little concern there for me.
Yeah, I have some concern as well. But when I look at the players after him, I don't feel nearly as concerned.
Let's go 10, Ozzy Albies, 11, Ian Happ, 12, Whit Merrifield, 13, Scooter Gennett, 14 Yoan Moncada, 15 Chris Taylor, 16 DJ LeMahieu, 17 Ian Kisler, 18 Jose Peraza, 19 Marwin Gonzalez, who's going to be on just about every one of these lists, and 20 John Harrison. So you also, Whit Merrifield, went 7 overall in the NFBC as his ADP, and you got him at 12. And Timmy, I completely agree with you. Maybe he's going to do exactly what he did last year. I just don't believe it. It's Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, I can't see it back to back. I'm just not a huge believer. It was such a huge outlier from everything he has done in his career. I just had to downshift on Whit. And at the end of the year, hey, I could be proven witless, but I'm okay with it.
You could have said the same thing about Scooter Gennett, but yet Scooter Gennett in the NFBC 21, you have him at 13.
Well, yeah, obviously I believe a lot more in the Scooter than I do in Whit Merrifield. I think Gennett's going to have another 25-90 type season. I'm okay with Scooter in the 13-14 range.
Yeah, Chris Yoan Moncada is the same. NFBC hasn't gone. As your last second baseman off the board, still the upside there is tremendous, as your little comment said there. Chris Taylor is fascinating to me. This is a guy who came out of nowhere, won me a league, quite frankly. Adam, I think in DL2, and I mean, I didn't play him for a while because I didn't believe it, and then I, you know, wound up, he was one of my starting outfielders. You got him going 15, NFBC's got him going 9, so you're not as big on Chris Taylor repeating. I think it's foolish to think he's going to repeat what he did last year. I hope he does, but I don't think it will happen.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a nice little player, but I don't think he's going to be as nice as last year. You know, he wasn't even on the roster until 3 weeks into the season, Rich. He didn't break camp with that team. An amazing story. Hey, I'm happy for Chris Taylor, but I'm just not willing to go all in with him this year. I just have some concerns about the ability to repeat.
Well, here's really good concerns for the ability to repeat. 25% strikeout rate and 568 plate appearances. Yeah, 21 home runs, 17 stolen bases. But when you got a 361 batting average at Bells and Play, propping everything up, looking at massive correction and a 288 batting average, this guy could hit 230, 240. And he would be sent brought back down to me. And this is what could happen.
In a heartbeat, he could hit 240. And that's a legitimate concern that I think everybody should look at.
Wise, wise advice from the great Tim McLeod. We got DJ LeMahieu, about the same Ian Kisler. Jose Peraza, you like a little bit more. You think the speed's going to break out?
Yeah, you know, you're talking second base shortstop eligible. This is going to be his first year committed to one position, shortstop. And if anybody can challenge the top five, the big five, four or five stolen base guys, Perez, I think, has the potential to do it, Rich.
Get Marwin Gonzalez. Timmy, I've now finished my NFBC draft. It was a grind, I tell you, 3 weeks, and it was a grind. It was about 4 days too long. I lost interest, so I think, on Tuesday. Just like, oh, please get this thing over with. But Marwin Gonzalez, in one of those draft and hold leagues, Timmy, I would go a couple rounds early. I mean, this, because draft and hold, what's important about that is at-bats. You need at-bats in those leagues. And Marwin Gonzalez plays everywhere. So he's a guy that, you know, you lose both your first basemen, that you're maybe your two out of your three first basemen that you draft, and you might have a dead spot sitting at first base. Marwin Gonzalez gives you a chance to move him around everywhere. Now, of course, if he gets hurt, you're screwed. But I think it's a really nice pickup for a draft and hold league.
I totally agree. The other thing that comes into play, and number one, you're covering off four positions with Marwin Gonzalez, okay? Which means you can look at more pitching options when it comes time to looking at your reserve lists. And we know that there are going to be breakout players coming out of the pitching. You know, everybody's going to hit on somebody probably between pick 40 and pick 50 that's a pitcher. And the more pitchers you can throw darts at in a draft and hold, the better off I believe you are. And a player like Gonzalez allows you to throw those darts.
Yeah, and I the multiple position eligibility, I mean, it's funny. I was looking, analyzing my team and thinking, am I a little light in third base? Because I had Manny Machado, who's also eligible now for shortstop. But I also have Nick Castellano at third base, who's an outfielder as well. And I'm like, I feel pretty good about that. I got a couple of young third basemen that maybe. But getting that extra eligibility in a draft and hold league is really, really valuable.
Yeah, it anybody that's got multiple eligibility that has a proven skill definitely should probably be bumped up at least a round or possibly even two, Rich.
And that's why I like Eduardo Nunez, who comes in at 21, third base and outfield, but he doesn't have a job, Timmy, and I think he will get a job, but what if he doesn't?
Well, that's why I've got him sitting at 21, because I'm not – you know, as teams begin to fill in the rosters, at some point in time, there's going to be a crunch. Is there a possibility that Nunez ends up in a situation where he doesn't have full-time at-bats? I think it's something that's, you know, worth considering, and that's why I downshifted Nunez a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think he's a guy, again, a guy that can play everywhere, probably at minimum will get 400 at-bats, but you want 525 to 550 at bats, and hopefully he's fully healthy too, Timmy, because we all remember him in the playoffs. It was not good. So let's just finish your top 30 up here. You got 22, Chris Owens, Cesar Hernandez, 23, 24, Jonathan Villar, 25, your buddy Logan Forsythe. Wow. You have him at 25. He's going off the board, 42nd second baseman off the board. Huge value there. Starlin Castro at 26. Yangervis Solarte at 27. Jason Kipnis. Good Lord, what's happened to Jason Kipnis at 28. Devin Travis at 29. And Brad Miller at 30. Timmy, what happened to Jason Kipnis?
Well, three of the past 4 years, he just hasn't played very well. The numbers aren't there. His OBP was under 300 last year. You know, you look at the numbers he's posting and – yeah, you can say there's a bounce back potentially coming from Kipnis, but at some point in time, Zim's going to move to the top of that order, and Kipnis is going to be sitting in the eighth or ninth slot. You know, 12 homers last year, 35 RBIs, 6 stolen bases, and 290 OBP. I'm just not convinced. I think at some point in time, like I said, Bradley Zimmer is going to move up and Kipnis is going to move down. I think it could happen this year.
Yeah, it's just amazing. The number one second baseman for several years, and just a couple of years ago, Timmy. It's just remarkable what's happened there. And I know you're not a huge fan of Logan Forsythe, but you got to be taking more than the 42nd second baseman off the board. That's just ridiculous. That's a great ranking for you.
Well, I think what's happened with Forsythe is people are looking at last year's numbers and they're drafting according to last year. And I don't think we're going to see back-to-back seasons. I think we're going to see more of the Logan Forsythe that, you know, that we saw the Dodgers looking at when they acquired him last year. So, you know, maybe I'm a little bullish at 25, but 42 is just an insane bargain as far as I'm concerned. He doesn't even have Chase Utley looking over his shoulder this year.
Not at the moment that they're talking about potentially re-signing him. So I heard that today. When we get back, Timmy, we're going to finish up this list and talk about sleepers. Okay, Timmy, who in your top 10? Brian Dozier, Jose Altuve, Brian Dozier, D. Gordon, Jonathan Scope, Robinson Cano, Daniel Murphy, Rognet Adur, Javier Baez, or Ozzie Albies will not be a top 10 performer this time next year. Who will not be in the list a year from now?
Daniel Murphy.
There's a chance, Timmy. He's the old man on the group here, so I think there's definitely a chance there. My guys,
yeah,
it's 10. I think you're crazy on Ozzie Albies, so I'm going to say that. So, better player than me,
okay.
Timmy, but I like Ozzie Albies, but not as a 10th best second baseman off the board.
Fair enough.
Tell me a guy outside of your top 10 that will be in the top 10. Who's going to replace Daniel Murphy?
I'm going to go with a long shot here, but I'm going to go with Jose Peraza. I think if he can get the stolen bases up over 40, I think he could very, very easily move into the top 10.
What about Yoan Moncada, Timmy? That seems like the obvious guy here with huge upside. Everybody worries about the strikeout rates, as do I, but he's got the most talent on this list.
Oh, there's no doubt he has a pile of talent, but I'm taking the Byron Buxton approach to Moncada, in that I think 2 years from now, he's definitely going to be in the top 10. Next year, I'm not quite so sure. I think we're going to see slow and steady growth. At some point in time, he could be the best second baseman in the game, but I think it's going to be a few years out yet. So I like him, but for 2018, I'm taking a little bit of a conservative approach.
So if we go deeper, Timmy, deep, anybody on the whole list, I think, and it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of good second basemen up at the top 10, but it falls off in a hurry, Timmy. I mean, if you're getting Chris Taylor or DJ LeMahieu, Ian Kinsler, I think you're a little disappointed who you're getting that second base. So if I look pretty further down at some of these rookies that are there, boy, you look at number 45 and you see Scott Kingery and you go, that's somebody that can really make some noise here in the second half, because he's probably going to be down at least for part of the year. He's got the talent. He's got the hit tool. He's got the power-speed combination to really make some noise.
Yeah, he does. The only problem is right now, all hail Caesar. He's got the job, and until the Phillies find or decide what they're going to do with Cesar Hernandez from, you know, Kingery is going to be at AAA, and hey, I love Kingery and I hope he's up as soon as possible, but they're not going to hand the job over to him and leave Cesar Hernandez on the bench. I just don't see it.
I think they'll move him. I think it's going to happen to me. It might happen at the deadline, but
yep.
You know, unless Kingery gets hurt, there's no reason to believe he can't do what he did in 2018, what he did last season. I mean, I saw the guy. It was impressive. I mean, I had seen him in 2016. I said, yeah, nice little player. Didn't really think much about it. I saw him. It was just more of the same. This guy was just exploding onto the scene in 2017, and it was impressive.
Yeah, no, I love Kingery. I've got him in I've got him in DL5. And I've been fielding offers on Kingery all offseason. And unless somebody's willing to make a grossly huge overpay, he ain't going anywhere. I'm going to wait for Kingery, Rich.
I think that makes sense. Go ahead.
I was going to say a couple other names that generate some interest for me down in the ranks a bit. Daniel Robertson and Dixon Machado, Tampa Bay and Detroit, respectively. They're both going to see something that they've never seen before, which is an opportunity. So if you're playing in an extremely deep league or an AL only, Robertson's got the job at second base. Machado's got the job at shortstop in Detroit. Both of those players are going to start the year with a job, and it's something to take into consideration when you're looking at a bench slot or like in an AL only. You'll want to be drafting those guys. And I think there's some potential based on the relative cost right now. Just something to monitor.
Oh, I agree. I've never been a huge fan of Daniel Robertson, but Dixon Machado is a guy that's always intrigued me, and I kind of like that pick. It's. Oh, I could tell you, Tim. Another guy. I'm just looking at your list. Number 37, Dustin Pedroia. Wow. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, what do you do with Pedroia? You know, I'm hearing he's ahead of schedule, okay, and things are looking good, but he might. There's a possibility we might not see him till June. So what do you do? You know what I mean? Hey, you could get yourself an exceptionally good bargain drafting Pedroia late and maybe even running with a Robertson. But at the same point in time, what happens if there's complications a month from now and all of a sudden Pedroia is not back until July?
We heard Jimmy Nelson for the last month was ahead of schedule, and then we heard today it'll be June. It's like, well, I thought he was ahead of schedule. So, not so.
Well, yeah, he is. 3 days. Yay.
Right. Yeah. What about Brandon Drury? I mean, you still got the hots for Brandon Drury down at number 38?
No, my hots for Brandon Drury have cooled a little bit, Rich. He just didn't step it up last year, and I think he's going to have trouble with his bats this year. Owings will be back. Not that I'm a huge fan of Jake Lamb, as you'll see by the rankings next week, but Drury just hasn't, he didn't step it up last year, and there was an opportunity there for him. So I think it's only fair to downshift on him this year. You know who I do really like, though, and I've got him at 27, is Solarte as a J. Yeah, he qualifies at second, shortstop, third base. And let's face it, between Travis and Tulo, he should get plenty of at-bats. I think he could have a really nice year as a super sub in Toronto.
I agree, Tim. I think that's a good call. What about Raul Mondesi, my second baseman in my NFBC team last year, which was a disaster, Timmy? Is he going to see playing time, or is Alcides Escobar going to take the time away from shortstop? And Alcides Escobar, I think you could hit higher than Alcides Escobar can.
Yeah, but I can't steal the bases he can, Rich. I really can't.
I don't need to steal bases anymore. He's terrible.
Well, no, but I think if he stole more than one, he's got me beat. I originally had Mondesi ranked somewhere, I think it was around 30, somewhere in that range, back end of the 20s. And with the signing, I downshifted him to 55 on the list. I think they're going to go with Escobar, and Mondesi isn't going to get the at-bats. They're going to send him down to the minors for another year on the farm, Rich.
Yeah, well, it's a shame because he's still on target to be up at a reasonable time. They just rushed him and then realized, oops, we went too fast. And now as a fantasy owner, it's like, when's he going to come up? When's he going to be ready? He still should be in double-A, triple-A, given his age, but they rushed him and we all fell for it. Allen Hansen, Timmy, now with San Francisco, he might have a chance out there, Tim.
With the acquisition of McCutchen, I think that shifts him back down a peg again, Rich. Maybe he'll take some at bats away from Joe Panik if Panik really struggles. But I think again, Hansen's in a situation where he's going to have trouble finding the at-bats.
Yeah, good call. So, Timmy, anything else, final comments on second base?
Yeah, I've been grabbing second base fairly early and for good cause. I think once you get much past Robinson Cano, there's a whole pile of question marks in there. If you can get yourself one of the top 5-6 players on the list, I think you'll be far happier for it. And hey, if you're going to gamble on the high upside guys, Ozzie Albies and Ian Happ.
Good call, Timmy. Great stuff as always. We will do third base. We got to double up at some point. So I don't know if it's third base and shortstop next week, Tim, or just third base, but it's up to you. Whatever you give me, man, we'll be good.
Okay, yeah, no, I've got both shortstop and third base. I've got all the players pulled up. I'm just starting to write capsules up on shortstop and tweaking. So we should be able to get both of them in for next weekend, Rich. But I'll know a little bit more by about Tuesday, and I'll just keep you in the loop.
Good. So we'll hopefully do both of them next week, and then we can announce our wonderful mock draft.
Have you picked a date for that yet, Rich? Or are you still
I want to get on the infield first, and then we'll pick a date. So we've got outfield, starting pitcher, and closer done. I usually like to be somewhat finish all the rankings before we do it, but we'll probably do it after outfield. So if it all goes well, we'll do third base and shortstop next week, outfield the week after that, and then 3 weeks from today, which would be what, the 21st or so of February, actually 15th, 16th of February. That's when we'll do it.
Okay. I'm taking it you're leaving that in my trusty hands to organize and put together?
Maybe. 18th, that's when it'll be. So I want some diversity, Timmy. I want some new people. So that's my only request. So love all the existing listeners and people that have been with it, but I do want some new folks. So we'll figure out how we do that. So
that sounds like a plan. Yeah, I'm all for
good.
It.
Good.
Well, I just don't want to do a lottery this year, Rich. I don't want to get into advanced algorithms to try and I think I'd prefer to do it just by invite, if that's okay by you.
Sure. Yep, absolutely. Timmy, it's a wrap, my friend. You got anything that you want to promote?
I'm busy. I'm going to be spending time with our good friend Joel Hennard tomorrow on his podcast. Other than that, I'm working away on the rankings and having a blast talking baseball with Joe Pisapia every Sunday morning. It's got through week two today. I didn't sleep in, and we had a fun time.
That's awesome, Timmy. How long's the show?
He's giving me two clips, so I'm on from 10 to 10 Eastern to 10:30 every Sunday morning.
Well, good for you. That's fantastic. Timmy, we come out with the final 50 of our prospects. So before we get off the air, let me go over to my list, and I'm going to ask you to go from 1 to 50. Wait a minute. Where's our site here? Over here. Oh, it's not it, and I got too many things open. I was going to do this, but maybe not. Let me see. I don't even have Prospect 361. Oh, there he is. Here's Prospect 361. I got to go over to my drafts, Timmy.
Ooh.
Over the drafts, because it's not published yet. So from 1 to 50, Mr. McLeod, give me a number and I will tell you who the prospect is.
Let's go with lucky 13, Rich. See what the good old 13 has to say for himself.
Okay, there's 11. I got to scroll down over here. Grab the little bar. Number 13 is a catcher from Cleveland, Francisco Mejia. Can really, really, really hit. Don't think he'll be any third baseman, but Yan Gomes, better watch out, because I think Francisco Mejia by midseason will be your starting catcher for the Cleveland Indians. Timmy, a big prospect, the highest-ranked catcher on the board. A few more catchers than I had originally I wanted to put out there, but you know, there was some catchers I just really liked, and Francisco Mejia is at the top of the group.
So you don't think the third base experiment is anything more than just simply an experiment?
I think it's just an experiment. So I think he'll be a catcher. I think he's going to be a very good catcher. So I think it's
okay.
An experiment. We'll see. I could be proven wrong.
Yeah, okay.
I saw him at the Arizona Fall League.
I
didn't see him get a lot of chances at third base. So I can't tell you whether he can play the position or not. But I am aware that the experiment is going on.
Yeah, no, I was just curious. He was one of the players that really stood out to me in Arizona. The kid can hit. Same with Urias in San Diego. The same thing. Both those kids really stood out to me. They know the strike zone. They're going to spray the ball all over the place. I'm excited to see both those players.
Terrific. Timmy, it's a wrap. We will talk to you next Sunday. Have a terrific week. And everybody, we're 15 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Timmy, it's amazing.
Yes, and there's still 135 free agents that haven't been signed.
It is. I don't even understand, Timmy. Have a good week yourself. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, be well, my friend.